Chapter 3 The White Rabbit. Hold! State your name and business. The cry echoed in the freezing gloom, accompanied by the creak of a dozen bowstrings. The battlements above were wrought of redstone, 40 feet high, dozens of firepots flickering along their length in the newborn night. The gates before us were made of iron-bound oak, embossed with the key and shield of mighty San Clayland. Breath steaming between us, Phoebe and I exchanged a weary glance. Sweet Mother Maid, we're here, I sighed. A fortnight we'd travelled, down from the Nightstone. 2 weeks of howling storm, biting snow and fungus-riddled deadwood. Phoebe had refused to shift as we travelled. And though I now understood her reluctance, Dior had only packed a fox fur mantle and elbow-length gloves to accompany that impractical dress. Not exactly winter attire. But even in human form, Phoebe seemed immune to the elements. Walking trackless and barefoot atop the same snows I struggled through. It was only after dark the cold seemed to bother her, and, strange as it was, despite our bloody history, a dusk dancer and a silver saint slept beside each other for a few weeks that winter's deep, beneath the hidden Eledany moons. Every night, I dreamed of Selene's face, the image creeping like a shadow into my quiet moments and unguarded thoughts. But all day long I fretted on Dior, reaching out every few hours to the blood she carried. Relieved to find her still moving, still alive. We'd followed the Volta down from the mountains, through frozen valleys and wasted forests, all run to rot and ruin. The only signs of life were a few swift foxes and a single mouse hawk, watching us with tawny eyes. We were exhausted by the time we spied it in the distance, a great crown of battlements encircling an island on the frozen river. A grand priory stood on its north side, looking over tangled streets below. A chateau rose in its heart, built of the red river stone the city was named for. Martyr's Cradle, some called it. Saint's Home, birthplace of San Clayland, the famed fourth martyr, the grand city fort of Redwatch. Dior and I had visited here before Winter's Deep, but now it seemed the gates had been closed to outsiders. A sea of tents and wagons had sprung up around the walls, a shantytown more akin to a city. Thousands of men, women, children, huddled in the cold, dirty and dishevelled, wide-eyed and wounded. I saw different patterns on their clan cloth, Quinn and Saith, Fas and Aris, folk from all over the Nine Swords' ravaged lands. A dozen burning arrows streaked from the battlements above, hissing as they sank into the snow about me. Not one step farther, by God! Hold, brothers, we come in peace, I shouted. A grizzled fellow with an iron helm peered over the battlements, frosty beard quivering as he shouted, I'll not ask again. State your name and business, or be gone. I studied the soldiery above us. Dozens of men at vigil on the towering walls, burning fires and heavy mail and crossbows aimed square at us. They're taking security a little more seriously these nights, I murmured. The closest chateau to here just got greased up, bent over and ass-fucked by the Divok, Phoebe whispered in reply. Are you surprised they're nervous? What's surprising is you actually agreed to this. Now, remember, we stumble here, I'm bound for the noose or worse. I tugged the leather leash about her neck. So follow my lead, eh? Oh, very amusing. I took off my glove, held up my hand to show my 7-star. Fair dawning, Sergeant. My name is Frère Philippe Montfort, brother of the Holy Order of Saint-Michel. A silver saint? The sergeant squinted at my tattoo, his demeanour shifting a touch closer to warmish. What brings you to Martyr's Cradle, good Frère? The hunt, sir. My abbot sent me to Beaufort to capture this unholy beast. I feigned a kick to the back of Phoebe's legs, and she dutifully collapsed in the snow with a curse. I seek sanctuary for the night, afore the long march back to Saint-Michel. Refugees in the camp were looking at us now. Flint-eyed men and hungry children, elders shivering in their bloodied rags. The little sergeant squinted at Phoebe on her knees in the snow, resplendent in her flawless emerald gown. "A beast, you say? She looks fair enough." "And that's the evil of her, good sergeant. Let your eyes be not deceived. This sorceress is a dusk dancer and skin thief, whose earthly temptations can enslave the pious with a word, a glance. No bishop, priest, nor God-fearing man is safe, and if she had her way, sir, you would be next to be flayed alive in her boudoir of blood."
"Boudoir of blood?"
Phoebe hissed. "Easy, Kit Kat," I muttered through gritted teeth.
"Who the fuck is going to believe that shite?"
"These men are press-ganged peasants," I whispered. "They stand on a damn wall for a living, so calm your tits before they perforate them."
"Why don't you just tell them the truth?"
"I want them terrified of you. That way, they won't waste time asking me idiotic questions, such as why you're only restrained with a few strips of saddlebag or wearing a bloody ball gown. I'm a wanted murderer in this city, Phoebe. If just one of these bastards recognizes me, they'll hang me twice over and burn the leavings at the stake." I shrugged, lacing my collar tighter about my face. "Besides, this is more fun."
"Fun?"
"Fun," I nodded. "Dio told me about it. I thought I'd try it for a while."
"You're not the one on your damn knees in the snow."
"Have no fear, mademoiselle. No doorman refuses entry to a member of the Ordo Argent. Those gates will open quicker than you can say, fuck my face.
Fuck my..."
Metal clunked, and with the groan of frozen hinges and a shower of broken ice, the gates began to grind apart. Phoebe glanced to me, scoffing as I winked.
"You're cleverer than you look occasionally."
"Not difficult, according to some." The red watch gates opened wide, revealing an arched tunnel leading through the gatehouse. Hundreds of refugees climbed to their feet as the portcullis rose, looking with hungry, frightened eyes at the city beyond. But a small army of soldiers barred their way, faces cold and hard. They carried spears and crossbows, and each was clad in the charcoal tabard of the Saint-Clailand gendarme. At their lead stood the little bearded sergeant, iron helm on his head and hand on his sword. He cast a warning glance around the Oceans to ensure all was still, then turned fearful eyes to me and Phoebe.
"You two, come forth," he demanded. "Only you two. And if you move sudden, vile temptress, I'll swear you'll not move again."
I nodded to the gates.
"After you, vile temptress."
"Should have left you on that damned mountain."
We marched forward under the eyes of the soldiery, Phoebe with wrists bound before her, me holding the leash about her neck. A dozen loaded crossbows were aimed at us as we stepped beneath the gatehouse arch, and I was on edge to be in close quarters, nowhere to run if the guards marked me for who I was. But on closer inspection, most looked barely more than boys, peasant lads raised in hamlets, where the greatest trade was rumour and superstition. A few kept watch on the ragged mob outside as the gates creaked closed behind us, just in case any should make a break for the shelter within.
"I trust you know the custom, Silver Saint," the sergeant said.
He motioned to the stone font sitting to the right of the gates. It was crafted in the likeness of Saint Nael, the Angel of Blood's hands holding a large bowl crusted with ice. I punched the surface to shatter it, dipping my hand into the freezing liquid beneath.
"What's that?"
Phoebe asked softly.
"Silence, villain," I snapped.
Turning, I flicked the liquid off my fingers onto Phoebe's bare skin. And though holy water was no actual bane to dusk dancers, she made a decent show of hissing in agony, teeth bared as she staggered backward and covered her face.
"Sweet mother maid," someone whispered. "Look at her eyes."
"You've stepped up the watch since last I was here, sergeant," I said.
The little man nodded.
"Gates are closed to all save citizens of Red Watch,
or those on God's or the Emperor's business, by order of Lord Cedric Beaufort. Those folk outside are freezing, man. Lord Cedric has no charity for the poor?
He's charity aplenty, Silver Saint, just no room. There's too many folk flooding over the border. The streets are awash with Ossian rabble, and food's already scarce.
I sucked my lip, uneasy at the thought of those folk outside, but with no end of my own troubles to fret on. Well, I'll only be here the one night, but I'd best get this monstrous into proper chains afore the witching hour. The man nodded, frightened eyes on Phoebe.
Where'd you plan to take it? I'll have to fetch the Capitan, if you've wished to lock it neath the keep.
Sanctified ground is the only place this beast can be safely caged. I'll take my rest in the priory this night, with the Holy Sisters of St. Clayland.
As it please, he nodded.
I'll have my men escort you. No need, Sir Jean. I slapped the man's shoulder, giving the lads around us a nod. You and your men stay your posts. The dead are abroad, and All Saints' Home doubtless sleeps easier in the knowledge you brave fellows stand their walls. I scowled at Phoebe. I know the way to the priory, and shall steer this heathen siren to God's house forthwith.
Why is she wearing that dress? Someone asked.
Filthy horseborn, Phoebe spat, glowering at the man.
I'll flay your bairns to make my bedclothes and fuck your wife upon their
Silence, fiend, I cried, flicking more holy water in her direction. Threaten not these faithful men of God. Come, give me your cloak, sir, and make a path, all of you. I'll have you goodly fellows hear no more poison from this acolyte of the abyss. The young soldiers stepped aside, awed and fearful, a few flinching as Phoebe's golden gaze fell upon them. I took the sergeant's cloak, threw it around her shoulders. Dragging the hood down over her eyes, I snapped the leash about her throat like a whip. Follow, flesh witch, I growled, and speak no sinful word, lest you taste my blade. The sergeant returned my grim salute, and leading Phoebe on her leash, I marched into the torchlit street. St. Holmes' buildings were tight-packed, looming tall above us, its streets a tangled, overcrowded maze. I was awed at the flood of refugees. Things must be going truly ill in the West for so many to have fled Oswey. But walking quick toward the priory, Phoebe and I were soon deep into the sprawl, and out of sight of the walls at least. Slipping into the lee of a cobbler's shop, I turned and unbound her hands. That wasn't too disastrous, all things considered, I muttered.
Ne'er the most fun I've had with knots, she shrugged, rubbing her wrists. Nor the least. But we'd best get off the streets. Where are these friends of yours?
I nodded down the alley. Follow me, vile temptress.
Pushing your luck now, silver boy.
I drew my collar up over my smirk, Phoebe pulled her hood over her eyes, and I led us down a tangle of squeezeways and alleys, cutting toward the frozen Red Watch docks. We dodged two patrols, ducked into a doorway to avoid a third, the hangman's noose ever over my head. And at last, we came to a row of crooked buildings lining a cobbled thoroughfare, the street filled with touts and homeless Ossians begging for coin. On a grubby corner, stacked between a bawdy house and a smoke den, we found our destination.
The White Rabbit, Phoebe murmured, looking over the tavern's sign.
The ragout's excellent. Whatever you do, do not order the potato surprise.
Any particular reason?
The surprise is dysentery. A mountain of beef in a winter cloak stood in the doorway, sheltering from the wind. He looked me over, toe to crown, breathing into dishplate hands to warm them.
No beggars in here, he grunted.
Beggars? I scoffed. Steady on, monsieur.
I warned you, Phoebe muttered. That wash is long overdue.
Rolling my eyes, I jangled my purse in the man's direction, and he dutifully stepped aside. With one last glance around the street, Phoebe and I slipped through the door. The White Rabbit was a bustling affair, the common room filled with folk of all shapes and sizes, every shade of shady. The tables were packed, scullery maids slipping among the crush with laden trays.
A trio of minstrels were hard at work in the corner, playing a brisk jump step on fiddle, lute, and drum. After so long wandering the frozen wilds, the tavern was a sudden rush of sensation. The heat of hearth and bodies, the perfume of wood smoke and liquor, and beneath it all, sweet and hot and red. Oh, God.
You all right? Phoebe murmured. I shook my head, swallowing ashes.
Need a drink.
We shoved through the throng toward a booth in a smoky corner. Pushing a slumbering drunkard out of his chair, the two of us settled in, my back to the wall and eyes on the door. My stomach felt a knot of broken glass, drenched in cheap liquor and set aflame. Phoebe touched a passing scullery girl, hood pulled low to hide her eyes.
Drinks, if you please, love. And food, eh? Ragu for me, potato surprise for him.
I opened my mouth to protest, but the maid had already bobbed her head, slipped off into the throng. Phoebe smirked in my direction, casting a glance around the room.
Fine place. Name any horses in it?
Food and sleep tonight. Tomorrow we get ourselves saddled and gone.
You don't want to spend your day resting up? Nay offence, but you look.
Every day we waste here is a day Dior draws closer to Dunmere again. Not to mention tempting the hangman.
I lowered my voice as the serving girl plonked two wooden mugs and a jug of rot gut on the table.
The sooner we're gone, the better.
Phoebe nodded, hunkering down and waiting for the maid to depart before she spoke again.
So, this friend of yours, how'd you know him?
Met in the Ocean campaigns.
I poured myself a cup, another for Phoebe.
I was part of the Ordo attachment under Neve Amergen's command during the Divok War.
What?
The Dusk Dancer scoffed.
You know the Nine Swords?
Know her?
I downed my spirits with a gulp.
Neve fucking knighted me.
Knighted by a pretender's blade. You just get more impressive every day, don't you?
Neve Amergen's no pretender, I said, pouring another. She conquered the Osway from the splintered isles to the Moon's Throne by the time she was 25 years old. Emperor Alexandra himself named her a Duchess of the Imperial Court.
Travel to the Highlands. See how many kneel for her,
Phoebe scowled.
The Nine Swords tried to invade the Moon's Throne. Do you know that? After all, those lowlander dogs bent the knee. Greedy bitch fixed her eyes northward and tried to take what was ours. There was 7 different clan wars raging across the Highlands back then, and we still found the time to kick her ass so fucking hard her nose is yet bleeding.
Merci for the history lesson, but I have been known to read on occasion.
You can read?
The minstrel shifted tune. The crowd cheered as the fiddler jumped on a table. I winced, briefly entertaining the notion of jamming his instrument into an orifice with better acoustics. My head was splitting, stomach burning, this liquor doing next to nothing. I reached to my bandolier for a dose of Sanctus, but instead of glass, my fingers brushed something heavy, metal. Drawing it out with a frown, I recognized the golden vial that little Mila had given me after the battle on the mare.
You said a bad word, but you're a good man.
What's that? Phoebe asked, squinting. The wolf mother wore it, I replied. Drank from it when we fought at Avalane. And from another just like it before she smashed the Cairnheim bridge to splinters.
What's in it?
Unscrewing the cap, I inhaled. My mouth flooded with spit, belly tying itself into a burning tangle. Even sour, the perfume was so heady, so rich. I was sore tempted to upend it over my open mouth, to let those clotted dregs fall onto my tongue and bathe me in flame.
Did they not warn you, your precious silver order, what would happen if you indulged your desires night after night? Or were you simply too drunk with lust of the flesh to give a damn about your immortal soul?
Silver boy, Phoebe asked, what's in it?
Red fire. Red thirst.
Blood, I whispered, closing the cap. Just blood.
Phoebe's strange new eyes roamed my body. The clenched jaw and sweat-slick skin and white-knuckle fists. I filled my pipe, striking my flint box with shaking hands. You're hunger for it? I looked up sharply at that, pupils dilating as I dragged down a lungful of red. Phoebe looked from the vial to my eyes, her own glittering, feral and gold. Why not just drink it? Because I'm not a fucking animal, I growled. Some of my favourite people are animals, she said, lips quirking. I chuckled at that, despite my parched tongue, my dry and clawing throat, the pain in my belly easing as the sacrament flooded red and warm through my veins. Pale bloods who indulge their hungers can get lost in them, I said, toying with my pipe, falling to a madness we name the red thirst. It turns us into beasts. No better than the monsters who made us. That's why the Order smokes blood rather than drinks it. Trust monastery boys to find a way to drain all the fun out of life. Phoebe watched me drag down another red lungful, her lips pursed. Is it true what's told in the old tales about the vampire's kiss? They say it's a bliss unmeasured. I wouldn't know. I'm not a vampire. But you used to drink? From your woman, I mean. I heard you and your sister talking. Anger flashed through me then, black and brittle. Perhaps once, but never again. And I'll thank you, Mademoiselle Phoebe, not to speak about my... A sheathed sword slammed on the table between us, embossed with sigils of the Mother Maid and Redeemer. Phoebe snarled, half rising as I scowled up at its owner. A woman, stout and tall, eyes of watery blue. She wore a jerkin and doublet, the sleeves split to show two shades of green hatched with black and blue, the colours of Clan Mergen. Her face was nicked with scars, crow's feet at her eyes, plaited hair faded grey. I heard tell you were dead. Her hand drifted behind her back, eyes glinting. And by God, by the time we're done, you'll wish you were.